remember one Sunday as a young boy. I think I was in high school. It was a typical Sunday morning in our house. We were getting ready to go to church, and I got dressed up, which is what we did. We got dressed up, and I put on a button-down shirt, and I had a tie on. It was a hot, humid Michigan summer day, so I put a short-sleeve shirt on and went to church. And at church that day, there was a gentleman in the church, and he kind of looked me up and down when I walked in and questioned my choice of clothing, wondering if that's what I should be wearing. Didn't tell you the other part of what I was wearing was I had shorts on. Now, granted, these were white pleated shorts. It was the 80s, so you'll have to forgive me for that. So white pleated shorts and my Docker shoes on and stuff. So I was all prepped. I was ready to go. But he's like, that's not what you wear to church. And I was thinking about that as we read the parable today. The story, which ends with this strange thing where somebody shows up and they get kicked out because they're not wearing the right clothes. Now, I don't think Jesus was telling the story about what we should wear to church. That's a whole nother conversation, a whole nother rabbit trail. That's not what Jesus was talking about here. But there's this question, what's going on in this strange story where there's a wedding and there's an invitation and then there's people being slaughtered and then there's another invitation and people show up and everybody shows up and they're invited, but then one guy gets kicked out because he's not wearing the right clothes. And you think, what in the world is going on here? And so we've been doing a series this summer on the parables that Jesus told. Jesus told these series of stories we call parables that he talks about different things. And his primary message in all these parables and all these stories is what we know as the kingdom of God. What it looks like when people are living under God as king. What it looks like to describe who God is as king. So we Jesus as king and what his kingdom is like. And some of the stories can feel a little bit disconnected from real life. They can feel kind of distant. You don't read the parables necessarily and come up with, you know, 5 steps to better finances or 7 keys to good relationships. But I think Jesus is pointing us to something more. He's pointing us to what it looks like to have a life with him. Some of the parables remind us of what God is like. And so a few weeks back, we did the story often known as the prodigal son, the compassionate father, a reminder of this God who opens his arms with a wide embrace to all who will come to him. Another one of the stories we looked at is often known as the Good Samaritan. Not the best name for it, but it's a call to not place boundaries on our own love for others. So what's going on in this story? Because this one is a bit more challenging. It's frankly a confusing story. Feels like you're starting one story and then another story happens and then there's this other story happen. One commentator who has this 800-page book just on the parable says this, it's enough to make any interpreter go weak in the knees. You just come to this, what is happening here? So what I want to do is kind of review the basic plot of what Jesus tells and then go back and look at some of the details. And as we're looking at this, some of the keys when we're reading any of Jesus' parables in particular is to pay, why did he tell the story? Jesus wasn't simply on a storytelling circuit, but oftentimes there was a context, there was a question asked for him, or there was a conflict going on. Something was happening that made Jesus tell this particular story. So we're in chapter 22 of Matthew in this particular story, and so at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is there, and there's a lot of conflict going on with the religious leaders. And so we keep that in the back of our mind as we hear this story that Jesus is telling. So what happens in the story? Begins with a king's son is getting married. And the king invites people to the banquet. He starts off and says in verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like. And so we know he's telling us something about what the kingdom of heaven, that's how Matthew refers to it, the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, same thing. What is the kingdom of heaven like? And he says that it's like a king inviting people to his son's banquet. And so there's this sense where what would often happen is the invitations would actually go out in 2 phases. There weren't, this is kind of like almost a save the date kind of thing. The servants would go out and say, hey, the king is holding a banquet, or whoever's having a wedding banquet. They're having a banquet, so get ready. It's coming. And then when it was ready, they'd go out and they'd say, okay, it's all ready, come on in. And so we sort of see that in the story. So the first is this story goes out, but some people don't want to come. They refuse the invitation. So the king sends more people and says, well, come on, it's all ready. Come on out. Well, the people don't just refuse at this point. They kill the people sending the invitation. This is the literal shoot the messenger kind of thing. They kill the people who are coming to invite them in. So the king gets enraged and sends his army to destroy the city. But the story doesn't end there, because then all of a sudden the king says, well, we still got all this food ready. What are we going to do? Just go out and get everybody. Anybody and everybody, come on, tell them to come in. And so everybody comes in. We think, oh, that's a great ending of the story. That sounds like the God I know. Yeah, everybody come on in. But then the king looks around and says, you're not wearing the right clothes. And he doesn't just say, well, go home and put something else on. He says, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside in the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Seems like a kind of extreme response to not having the right clothes on. So we hear this story and we think, oh, I get it. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Right? Yeah, I was like, yeah, I hope not. I mean, what exactly is Jesus telling us that God's kingdom is like? All right, so let's go back and look at a few of the pieces, and I'll try and pull some of the pieces together. So it begins with an invitation, right? That's the invitation, that the wedding invitation goes out to the people. Who's the wedding invitation from? The king. Now, if we go back, weddings, there was just a wedding out here yesterday, and there were people who came to it. But weddings, for us, are they're a big event. I mean, there's an event, there's a wedding going on, and it's this big, exciting thing. There's like, you know, 20-minute ceremony and then a little, you know, a party at the local place. But weddings in the ancient world were even a much bigger thing. They were the social events that bound people together. Sometimes would go on for days, so huge celebrations. And who was invited, who was not invited, was all about context and social relationships and the way society was organized, and it mattered who got invited and who didn't get invited. Not entirely unlike today. But you're thinking here, this is the wedding of the king's son. Now, some weddings you might skip out of. You maybe get wedding invitations sometimes like, that's my third cousin twice removed. I don't really know them. I'm not going to that. But imagine if you got an invitation. We don't have kings here in America. But somebody like the king, the president said, I want you to come. Most would say, yeah, never mind. I'm not coming. No, this is an invitation from the king. And in fact, when you're invited by the king in the ancient world, it's not just a, would you please come? It's like, you better come kind of thing. Because to not come to the king's invitation is almost an act of rebellion. The king's saying, you're some of my friends. I want you to come sit at my table. And by refusing the invitation, you're almost saying, nah, I'm not really your friend. I'm not really your subject. And so we get this picture of what's going on here, that they're doing this. And not only that, so we have a picture of a wedding, the invitation from the king, but we also have something going on that Jesus is doing here, because he's talking about an invitation to a banquet. And for any of the people listening to the story, people who grew up reading what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, they would have been thinking of, there are a lot of passages that talk about that. We're going to just read one of them. Isaiah chapter 25. This is the prophet Isaiah describing the end times, the eschaton, the when God is making all things right. And this is how Isaiah describes the end. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast. Chapter 25, beginning verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. Or Jesus describes it later. He says, people will come from east and north, east and west, north and south, and will take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. That was how the end of the world, how God's gathering of his people was often described, was a banquet. That's what it looked like. He said, I'm inviting people to this feast where I'm blessing you. And so when Jesus starts to tell a story It says the kingdom of God is like a king who invited people to a banquet. They're not only imagining a banquet in their local time, in the back of their mind, it's triggering something. It's saying, oh, he's talking about the end. He's talking about the picture where God invites everyone to this grand banquet. He's talking about the end of the world where God is making all things right. This fulfillment of all of God's promises. And so Jesus isn't just pointing to now. He's pointing forward to the future. And we have this picture of God inviting people to his kingdom. This picture where he's saying, come on, come to my banquet. Come and be in relationship with me. Come and be in fellowship with me. And so that's what Jesus is doing as he's describing the story. He's saying the kingdom of God is like that, where God issues an invitation and he's inviting people to come to the banquet. In other words, to come and be a part of his kingdom. But the story goes on, doesn't it? Because not everyone accepts the invitation. And here it seems that Jesus is probably pointing to the religious leaders, because he said at the beginning, Jesus spoke to them, these people who are fighting against it, because Jesus has come and said, the kingdom is here and now, and I am the representative of the kingdom. And many of the religious leaders were rejecting Jesus. In other words, they were rejecting the invitation. And again, here we don't, with parables, we want to be careful that we're not trying to decode every single detail. But what we see is, what happens? What's the consequence of rejecting the invitation? The king wages war, which we might understand that as what? There's judgment. That some sort of judgment comes, that there are consequences for not accepting the invitation. So God extends an invitation. That invitation comes in the form of Jesus extending the invitation to his kingdom. And when we refuse that invitation, there are consequences. And the story goes on then, because then the invitation goes out to everyone. As I was reading the story, I was like, why didn't he invite everyone in the first place? I don't know. But we got to be careful again. We're not trying to, Jesus isn't telling an exact, complete story. What he's doing is he's painting a picture. He's trying to create an image. And so it's the same way when we tell a story or we use metaphors. And maybe we describe something that's like, well, how was that meeting? Oh, it was like having teeth pulled, right? Well, does it mean you went in and you sat in a chair and somebody tied a little bib around you? No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. It's a description of a part of things. So as Jesus is telling the picture, we shouldn't even try and see it as a complete chronology, because if we try to understand the chronology, the timeline of the story, it doesn't make sense, because we have the servants going out. Think about it. The servants go out. They say the feast is all ready. People refuse. So the king sends out an army, burns the city down, and then he says, well, the feast is still ready. How long has that food been sitting on the warmer? Right? So the point is, don't try and read it as this complete story. He's painting us a picture. He's saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. There's an invitation that goes out. There's a consequence for not refusing. In fact, the invitation goes to everyone. It's not just for a select few. And so we're getting this picture. And part of the picture is, it's the context of Jesus' ministry. And in the context of Jesus' ministry, he's saying, the feast is ready. The feast is ready means it's time to make a decision. It's time to come. Because the initial invitation went out. Now the king says, hey, the banquet's ready. You don't get to wait till later. You have to come now. And so Jesus is saying, you have to make a choice. There's an invitation been issued, and it's time to decide. And failure to respond to the invitation brings judgment. But then we get the strange story of the man who isn't wearing the right clothes. We get the idea the banquet requires a response. We get the idea that responding is giving your life and following Jesus. We get that. But then we wonder what happens. This man who isn't wearing the right clothes. I'm going to read that again. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. So there was a typical kind of, you wore particular things to a wedding. Some of you have probably shown up at weddings and realized, like, I'm not wearing the right things or the clothes. Or you notice the other guy over there. It's like, he's got the Hawaiian shirt on and everybody else is in a coat and tie. And you're wondering what exactly is happening here. But he says, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? I like that word, friend. And the man was speechless. Notice he doesn't even try and give an excuse. Maybe he doesn't have an excuse. But we get the sense from the king's question that there was an expectation that you would put on wedding clothes, that you would be dressed in a particular way. In other words, if you get the invitation and you come to the wedding, there's certain things you have to do. But he's talking about the kingdom of God. So what's he talking about is like, we can't have the kingdom on our own terms. It's almost as if the man shows up, it's like, I'm just going to do my own thing. The expectation when you came to the wedding was you put on wedding clothes. And the man seems to think, I don't need to do that. I can do my own thing. I do it my way. He chooses for himself. And so I think what Jesus is doing is getting at this idea that when we're invited to the kingdom, we just can't have the kingdom on our own terms. We can't simply decide for ourselves how to do things. We live in an age, in particular in America in 2025, of autonomy, of choosing for ourselves, deciding for ourselves how things should be. I mean, it goes the range of things. I mean, you can start at the end of like, we live in a world that's filled with choices. I was like the example of the grocery store. You walk down the cereal aisle, it's almost overwhelming. Like, I don't know what kind of, I mean, like, or the bread aisle, and there's 53 different kinds of wheat bread and then 20 other. But it's not just that. We get to the point where we can choose, well I'm not going to do that. I'm out. And we have this saying, some people really dislike this saying, and that's another thing. What, you do you, right? No, you do you means what? You decide for yourself. You're going to pick and choose. And so there's a sense of this man, this friend, comes to the banquet, and he's kind of like, I'm going to do my own thing. And Jesus is reminding us in this that when we're invited and come into the kingdom, we don't just get to do whatever we choose to do. We no longer, in some sense, we're giving up the rights to decide for ourselves how to show up. It isn't a matter of God invites us into the kingdom and then we say, God, I got some ideas here. I've got some ideas. I've got some thoughts. Can I sit you down? I'm thinking about, this is how I should use my money, God. Or God, I know you've got some thoughts on sexuality stuff, but I've got my own thoughts. Is it okay? Can I bring that with me? God, I know you talk about loving your enemy, but I'm not so sure about that. So I'm not gonna put that part of the clothing on. Well, God, I know. So do you see how that works? Where he's deciding for ourselves, and so what Jesus is getting at is we don't get to come to the kingdom and set our own terms. We don't get to decide for ourselves what's right and what's wrong. And in part, what Jesus is getting at is it's not just enough to show up. It's not just to say, I got an invitation, here it is. Jesus is saying there's also something about the way we live, about how we prepare ourselves. And so he's again pointing, remember, because the banquet is about the end times. Jesus has been talking about judgment, not something we like to think about, not something we like to talk about necessarily, but Jesus reminds us that it's a reality and that we have to prepare. Does this parable tell us everything about what it looks like to prepare? No. God has given us a whole Bible to help us understand this thing. There's not one verse, one thing. And again, that's a part of reading the parables. This parable isn't giving us a full theology of any one particular thing. But instead, Jesus is telling a story. And he's telling the story because there are people who are rejecting his message. And he's wanting to remind them, there are consequences for rejecting my message. And then he's saying, and it's not enough to just say, oh, okay, I'm following you, Jesus, and then choose to go our own way. Which in the story is the man who shows up without bothering to get dressed. In other words, who's not being appropriate for the setting. And so when we decide to follow Jesus, the song we started the service with, I have decided to follow Jesus. It's a picture in some sense saying, when you decide to follow Jesus, you follow him the whole way. You don't follow him and say, well, Jesus comes to the fork in the road and Jesus starts going that way. Like, I know a shortcut. I'm going to go this way. I'll meet you on the other side, Jesus. Or, Jesus, that path looks a little rough over there. I'm not sure I want to do that. I'm going to take this path over here. And so the man who shows up without the wedding clothes in some sense has said, I'm going to do life on my own terms. I got the invitation, but I don't need to do what's appropriate. I don't need to do those things that are right. So it's a call to focus on, are we prepared? Are we doing what God has called us to do? So if we pull back and look again at this big picture of this story, if we don't get ourselves too lost in all the little details and try and figure out how exactly did all this work and how does this timeline work and was there just one guy who didn't show up? But instead, we look at this big picture. And the big picture is this, that there is an invitation from God to come to his banquet. That God has said, I am inviting you. And in a sense, he's inviting everyone. He's saying, this is the invitation to come to my banquet. To come and sit it with me at the table in the kingdom of God when the world is restored and all things are right. I'm inviting everyone to come to it. And then Jesus stops and says, now there are consequences for refusing to come. There is a reality of a judgment. Here he describes it as being bound hand and foot and tossed in the darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. People might debate about the details, but it doesn't sound good to me. So he's saying there is a judgment for refusing the invitation. And again, that's not always an easy message to hear. It's not always an easy message to share with people. But Jesus talks about it. He reminds us of it. So we need to have that in our mind. Like, there is a reality of a judgment. There is also a call from Jesus. He's saying, it's not enough to just say yes. It's not enough to just show up, but we have to be ready. We can't just show up on our own terms and say, I'm here. I'm going to do things my way. But to show up, to accept the invitation is to do things the way the king asks, is to be a part of the celebration and be appropriate to the situation. In other words, to listen and obey the king, to obey King Jesus and listen to what he has said. So that's what Jesus is inviting us to. So I don't know where all of you are today, but that's part of what Jesus is saying to all of us today. He's saying the invitation is there. So if you haven't taken that invitation, it's the chance to say, yeah, I want to receive that invitation. If you have accepted that invitation, if you've said, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, I've given my heart to him, I've asked him into my life, whatever language you want to use, if you've done that, you need to be ready. You need to realize you can't just do things your own way, but to instead follow the way of the king. But I think there's one last little thing we can do with this story. And that's to think about, there were servants being sent out by the king to send the invitation. And so while this isn't necessarily a parable about missions and ministry, I think in here somewhere there's this call to say, we need to invite others. We should be inviting others to this banquet. Because the king wants us to invite people to banquet. If they don't come to the banquet, there are these consequences. So we should be thinking, I need to be inviting other people to this banquet. I need to be telling them about what's going on, who God is and how he invites them to come into his kingdom. And there's one last thing. I think, again, it's kind of hidden beneath the details of it, is to say, when you go to a wedding and you go to a celebration, that's what it is. I mean, what's the fundamental, hopefully, emotion at a celebration? Happiness or joy, right? That in some sense, there's this word, and that's why in Isaiah, and Jesus uses it, in the book of Revelation, this picture of, like, there's this picture that God says the end times are like that, where there's this banquet where people are celebrating. And so perhaps what we might need to hear today, what we might need to recover is the kingdom of God is a place of joy. The fact that God has invited us and we've been invited to this banquet should fill us with immense joy. Not only now, but looking forward to the future. It's a reality to say, I've been invited, and in some sense, I'm enjoying a taste of that banquet now. And that taste of that banquet comes in so many different forms. We practice communion once a month, and we come together, we come at a table, and we eat with all kinds of people around us who come from different backgrounds, different socioeconomic status, different educational levels, different ideas, different ways they grew up, but we all sit at the same table. Where else does that happen? And that brings me joy. And I hope it brings you joy when you see people coming forward, or when you see people and you realize those two people a year ago would not talk to each other. Those two people were struggling and they were having these difficulties, and now there they are. Another story from my church growing up. I had moved away and gone away to college, and I came back and I walked in, and there was a funeral for a friend of mine, a woman I had grown up. She had been one of my teachers, and went in this funeral. And I looked behind the table serving at the dinner after the funeral, and I thought, huh. Because I looked and there were two women standing there side by side serving at this funeral dinner. Now, you think, well, why is that so strange? Two people standing side by side serving at the funeral dinner. Why? Because one had been previously married to a man named Rick, and one was currently married to the man named Rick. In other words, there was the ex-wife and the current wife standing there side by side, serving. I don't know all the details of what went on and with the divorce, but I thought, there's a picture of the kingdom of God. That somehow these two were reconciled. You would think, like, you know, I can't imagine it was a friendly conversation. You know, like, I would think initially, like, let's meet some awkward conversations. Well, how's your marriage going? Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, But you think here, that's the banquet. That's the banquet where these people, where people come, and there's all these messy things that go on in life, and God invites this banquet, and everyone's invited, and there's this healing, and there's changes and stuff, and that ought to just bring us immense joy. To think this is the kingdom of God, and that's not necessarily the Jesus' main point here. But it's one I think we need to keep in our mind, is to say, there is this incredible thing where God is inviting us to this feast, this banquet, and it's a place of joy. And so let us be people of joy. Let us be people who enjoy this invitation. Let us be people who extend the invitation to others. Let us be people who accept that invitation and show up ready to celebrate with the one who has saved us. May we be people of the kingdom. May we be people who extend the invitation, receive the invitation, and celebrate at the banquet of God. Amen.